Good to see everybody. Our number's down a little bit, but we're glad to see you anyway. And we're going to have a lesson called The Eyes to Avoid. And you might be thinking, okay, where's he going to go with this? And you might be thinking, okay, maybe he's going to be talking about selfishness. You know, me, myself, and I. I mean, sometimes we have to put ourselves on the back burner and put God in the forefront. And so you might be thinking of that. But anyway, we're going to notice some words that begin with the letter I that we need to avoid. All right, the Bible contains many warnings. We know that. The Bible also contains many admonitions. And 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 includes reproof and correction when it comes to what the Word of God offers us. Sometimes it requires we use reproof and sometimes correction, but also the encouragement of the scriptures that we should be providing for others. And sometimes a sharp rebuke is in order. And there are many things in which we are warned to avoid. We've got to abstain from, we've got to get to just stay away from them altogether. So we're going to look at some that begin with the letter I. First one we want to talk about is ignorance. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so ignorance. Ignorance resulted in the crucifixion of Christ. And that's what the scripture says. Acts 3:17, Christ said, "You acted in ignorance when you killed the Son of God." Or Peter said that. And 1 Corinthians 2:7, 8, I mean, ignorance blinded them to the truth. These people didn't recognize the truth that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and ignorance allowed them to go ahead and crucify him. And then, of course, in 1 Timothy 1:13 through 15, other persecution came from ignorance. And that's true. A lot of the problems facing the early church was because of ignorance, because the Jews did not really fully understand what God had been talking about all those centuries before through the prophets and through the lessons from Moses. And so it was ignorance on their part, and that caused a lot of problems. Now we know in Acts 17:30, Paul told those on Mars Hill, "The times of ignorance God winked at, but now commends all men everywhere to repent." And so God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's what he wants, 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. And it's the truth that produces the salvation. It's the truth of the gospel that brings about the salvation of God. And so everybody needs to learn this. And so staying ignorant is not going to help anybody be saved. They have to come to a knowledge of the truth. Romans 10, 17 through 21, Israel should have known. You know, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he says, how are these people going to know if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And so he goes on to say, blessed are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. And so Israel should have known about the Messiah, should have been preparing for the Messiah, but they didn't. I mean, they were ignorant, and so that caused the problems that they had to deal with. And ignorance will never be allowed as an excuse for anything. Now, sometimes we might get away with it in some things, but pleading ignorance really doesn't relinquish you of the thing that you have done. If you broke the law, I mean, you get on a street and you start driving 45 miles down the road and the speed limit was only 25. Well, I didn't know, officer. Guess what? You're still going to get a piece of paper. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's probably going to happen. And so ignorance is no excuse. And never has been an excuse. And just saying, well, God, I didn't know I was supposed to go to church. I mean, how's that going to play on Judgment Day? All right, so ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance also leads to a rebellion against God because people don't understand it. you know, the vanity, the blindness, the lasciviousness that this world has to offer. I mean, God says you got to stay away from that stuff. And if you basically stay in ignorance, you're going to allow all this stuff to control you, your blindness and your wickedness and the vanity of life. 1 Peter 1:4 speaks of those, the way that they once lived. You used to live being darkened in your own minds and not having a knowledge of the truth. So in their ignorance, the darkness of the mind represents ignorance. And a lot of times, darkness itself is a word that's used for ignorance, not knowing things. Romans 10:14, trying to establish their own righteousness. Paul mentioned the brethren there, the Gentiles, actually, sometimes they don't have a law to themselves, but you know what? They study these things and they make their own laws. And so they try to establish their own righteousness. Now, this is a problem in the world today because a lot of people get down, they decide, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I feel like I need to do to be pleasing to God. And so a lot of people set up their own righteousness, set up their own rules, and basically they lose out. They miss it because of ignorance. I mean, learning the knowledge of the truth, we have to do. 2 Peter 3:5, willingly ignorant scoffers. Some people have chosen to be scoffers of God and making a mockery of Christianity. And they do so out of their ignorance. Yes, I mean, it is a arrogance. It is definitely a rebellion against God, but primarily because of ignorance. They don't understand what God wants them to know. And then, of course, the remedy for ignorance is a simple one. Readiness of mind, searching and seeking. You know, Acts 17:11, Paul commended the Bereans for that. He says, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things that they were being taught were so. This is what we're supposed to do. This is how we remedy ignorance. See, when ignorance is out there, anything goes. People don't know that this is wrong or that is right. They don't know that because they just don't know. And we're supposed to know what we're doing all the time. And so we need to have that readiness of mind. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved. I mean, to be diligent. I mean, that is definitely an attitude that we need to have, to study God's word. Why? So that we can be approved by God. And we do learn how to handle the scriptures correctly. And so we must do that. 2 Peter 1:5, diligence to apply and add knowledge to your faith. Yes, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. We've got to put forth the effort to learn knowledge. And it just doesn't happen by osmosis. Just because you walk in the door doesn't mean you're going to get all this knowledge. You've got to apply yourself to learn these things. So ignorance is definitely something we need to avoid. And so we look at that. Now, the next I, the word with the letter I, which we need to avoid, is iniquity. It's a violation of the law, transgression of the law. It is illegal. It is wickedness. It is unrighteousness. It's going beyond the bounds of the law. Iniquity will never be acceptable with God. Why? Because iniquity is another word for sin. And in the church, we have to keep iniquity out and away from us. We have to keep sin out and away from us. And among religious leaders, it can happen. And Jesus warned about that. The religious leaders, they practiced sin. What did they do? Well, they put Jesus on trial. Now, what did they do? Well, they couldn't find anything to condemn him with, so they brought in people to lie. They made up things. They lied. They charged him with things which he didn't do. And so that's what they did. Religious leaders will do that. And of course, we know that God loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hebrews 1 and verse 9 tells us that as he's describing the characteristics of the Christ. Now, 1 John 3, 4, we read that sin is transgression of law. And whether you're talking about human law or home law or any place where there are rules and restrictions, to violate that, God calls it sin. So sin is transgression of God's law. Sin can also be said is transgression of man's law. I mean, if there's a stop sign out there and we choose to ignore it, just go right on through without stopping, guess what? We've broken the law, not only the law of the land, the law of the community, but we've broken the law of God. Some people want to think, well, God's laws only apply in church, where man's laws, they apply out in the world. Well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if we learn about God, we're going to know that breaking any laws, any rules, is transgression of God's law. And yes, there is an exception. As Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. So when men make laws that go against and contradict God's law, then we have to put a stop to it. But until such time, if it doesn't violate God's law, we are subject to the law. Matthew 7:23. I mean, when these people said, but Lord, didn't we do all these things for you? And Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I mean, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. There's a lot of people in this world doing what they think is right for God, but yet they're acting out of ignorance. And the problem with that, they're going to be lost because Jesus said they're going to be lost. And so some remain in sin without wanting to change. That's probably most people that we deal with, most people in our world that we know. They don't want to change their ways. They don't want to become righteous. They don't want to be religious. I mean, so they want to remain in sin. Romans 2:5, it describes because of their hardness of their heart. They are impenitent. They do things that God said is sin. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't hurt their conscience. They keep doing it. Maybe the first time they did it, they kind of felt guilty about it, but then they did it again and again and again, and every time, I mean, it just gets to the point where they don't care they did it, and they have no problem doing it. You know, Romans 1:31 describes many words about the wicked and the unrighteous, and implacable is one of those words. That just means it really doesn't care. It doesn't bother me if I commit sin, and I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care who tells me I can't do it. I'm going to do it anyway. So that's the idea of implacable. And what is the solution? The solution is simple. The way to be free from iniquity is through forgiveness. And we know that's the case. See, Romans 2:7, iniquities can be forgiven. How can they be forgiven? Well, we have to do our part to repent. We have to change our ways. And then, of course, the grace of God can redeem us from all iniquity. Titus 2 and verse 14. How does it do it? Well, God offered his grace. He offered his son, whereby when we put our faith in his son and obey his gospel, then he will cleanse us from our sins. And Hebrews 8:12 says, remember our sins no more. When God washes away our sins, he does not remember them. We start with a fresh slate all the time. Every day we start fresh. Every time we ask God for forgiveness, we're starting fresh with a clean slate. And hopefully we won't make too much of a mess. And we must accept God's pardon on God's terms. A lot of people try to establish their own terms of what they think God is going to be accepting, or sometimes they don't even think about that. Well, God's going to take it whether he said anything about it or not. This is what I'm going to do regardless of what God said. A lot of people are that way. And that is nothing more than sin. As we said in James 4:17, he that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So not doing what God has told us to do is sin. It is iniquity. And that will keep us out of heaven. See, once we're freed from our iniquities, we must avoid them. Avoid the iniquity. And we must watch and be careful. We talked about that in class this morning. Be a sober spirit. Be watchful. And there's reasons for it. We got to pay attention to what's going on, because we can be so easily deceived and caught off into iniquity. Matthew 26:41, Jesus, about to go off and pray, he said, "Watch that ye enter not into temptation." Pay attention to yourself. Don't sleep. Don't do that. I mean, be watchful, just like the watchman is supposed to be watchful to protect the city. And Mark 13:37, he said unto all, he says, "Watch." Sometimes when Jesus gives a one-word statement, you've got to kind of figure out, what does he mean by watch? I mean, when I say the word watch, what do you think of? Maybe that little instrument you put on your wrist, or just using the ability of your eyes to watch what's going on? When Jesus said watch, he says pay attention. Do your best to understand what is going on. When we look at the world out there and we watch what they're doing, we see all the wickedness, we see all the iniquity. And why are they doing it? Because they don't really honor God. We've got to understand that's why they're doing it. And so he said to watch. And of course, Acts 20:31, Paul warned the Ephesian elders, "Watch out for yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves, because from your own selves, from your own midst, from the eldership there, somebody was going to come up and cause the destruction of souls." He said, "You're like ravenous wolves." And so you have to pay attention to ourselves. And if we're not careful, we can get sidetracked. We can get off on the wrong path. And we can lose our soul and cause other people to lose their soul as well. All right, another I to avoid is idleness. Now, the idle word will judge us in the last day. That's what Jesus said. Every idle word you speak will judge you in the last day. And then, so the fruits of idleness are nothing good. I mean, idleness. What happens when idle hands? What? Yeah, they get into trouble. They do things that they shouldn't be doing. And Paul warned Timothy about being idleness. People not doing the work of God, but just being busybodies. I mean, they become tattlers, bearing tales that should not be repeated. About a month ago, we had a sermon about the evil of gossip. And this falls into that category. Idleness as a result of gossip. If we were busy doing our job, then we wouldn't be sitting there making up things about people or telling other people about what someone has done. We would be doing our job. Our job is to help people get to heaven. We know that. A lot of times, idleness causes busybodies involving selves in other men's matters, other people's matters. And we all know this type of person. I mean, they get in there and they don't do anything for themselves, so they get involved in everybody else's business. Tries to tell everybody what's going on, or if you won't listen to them, they'll go tell somebody else what you're doing. I mean, so idleness is dangerous. And it's just another way of saying sticking your nose where it don't belong. So we have to be warned about that. See, we were warned about uncontrolled in speech and conduct. That's what idleness does for us. We don't control our speech. We don't control our conduct. I mean, you know a lot of people in this world that you have told them time and time again that foul language, I mean cursing, is offensive to you. And what do? They'll keep talking that way. And if you don't like it, that's tough. I mean, that's that way. Or if they recognize you're there, oh, pardon my French, or something like that. But anyway, they stay they don't control their tongue. And it's gotten pretty bad over the years. And it's pretty nasty. I mean, even the younger ages are doing this. I'm sure Anita's recognized her students. I mean, most of them don't control their tongue, and it's pretty bad. And you can say, don't talk like that in here. Some might try, but they forget their tongues. They forget their conduct. Say, the person who is idle is often tempted because they are not filling their lives with good. Here's what we're always trying to encourage our brethren to do. Get busy doing the Lord's work. You won't have time for the wickedness that the devil offers you. We should be doing God's work. And a lot of times, we're just not doing God's work. And so what we're doing, we're having to fight the temptation that's out there. And if we're not doing God's work, most likely we're just going to give in to that temptation. So we don't need that to happen. So we need to fill our thoughts with spiritual thoughts, and there will be no reason for the flesh to take over. You know, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, set your mind on things above. And so idleness, when opportunity exists, is sin. Like I said, James 4:17, he that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Idleness means you're sitting around doing nothing. And we're supposed to be doing something. God wants us doing something, and so we should be looking at that. All right, imaginations. I mean, this is a word that we don't normally use in our language today. The scriptures talk about it, and when we read the scriptures, we'll get a pretty good idea what it's about. See, Mary's statement about imaginations. She said, this child is going to grow up, and he's going to know the thoughts and the imaginations of men. And the proud have imaginations. And really, the best way to translate it is think so. I think so. And this is what I want it to be. This is how I imagine it could be or should be. Rather than looking at the reality of what it actually is, they just start thinking, well, it's just, this is the way that seems right. In other words, their own thinking instead of God's thinking. And that's what imaginations are. And of course, the proud have these imaginations. Well, the proud consider that I am better than God because I'm my own person. And we know there's people in this world that feel that way. You know, see, there's a word we had the other night about this, where basically people think everybody's their own God. There's no personhood in God, a God who dwells in some unknown realm. Everybody is their own God. You know what? Some people actually behave like that. You know, in the times past, certain emperors and rulers, they considered they were gods to be worshipped. And they were full of pride when that happens. See, they imagine they are better than others. Have you ever met somebody who thought they were better than you? I'm sure you have, because that's just human experience. I mean, there's always people think, well, I'm better than they are. Well, I mean, let's face it. We can sit down and, well, we go to church, so we're better than those who don't go to church. We might have that attitude thinking, hey, look how good we are. But we're using the wrong standard to measure ourselves. You know, Paul warned the Corinthians about these people. They measure themselves by themselves. Well, I set up my own personal set of rules and standards. If I don't violate those, I'm okay. No. They imagine that they're okay, but they're not. And they imagine they're better than others. Where the person we need to be looking at is Jesus. Are we as good as Jesus? No, definitely, Jesus is better than us. And we cannot think that I am better than Jesus. Some people get the idea, well, I know better. I know what works for me, and going to church doesn't work for me. I'll go out and go fishing on Sunday. I'll walk through the parks on Sunday, and I'll have more religion than those people sitting in the church. I mean, some people have that imagination, but we know the outcome of that. See, this all originates in their hearts. And that's what Jesus warned about. It would all happen in their hearts. The imaginations of men are contrary to God and what God has spoken and what God has commanded. So they make things up. You know, Proverbs 16:25, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And that's what these people do. They get it in their own mind, well, this must be right, and they go with it. They run with it. And where does that get them? Only in their own mind, thinking they're okay, but not in the sight of God. See, God's word will cast them down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yes, we will stand before God, give an account of ourselves, and what God has spoken. That's our standard of judgment. You know, in Revelation 20, verse 15, when it talks about, and books were opened. Yeah, the Bible is going to be one of those books. The Word of God is going to be one of those books that will judge us. And if we have taken the Word of God and applied it to our lives, then we should be all right. But if we don't do that, if we just do whatever we feel like doing, that's not going to help us get to heaven. In fact, we won't go to heaven if that's really our way of thinking. So when we imagine for ourselves, what might we have? I mean, there's another thing. Sometimes we start making plans. We plan for our retirement. We plan for our future. We plan all these things. And do we include God in our plans? I mean, a lot of people don't do that. They start thinking retirement, okay, I'm going to get a boat, I'm going to get a nice home out in the country, and I'm going to go out hunting and fishing, I'm going to do all these things, and yet they forget God and leave God out of their plans. And so we imagine for ourselves what we might have. Say, we are fine even though we do not obey. I mean, there's a lot of people feel that way. And so for us, our feelings determine right and wrong for us. You have your standards, I have my standards. And what I do, I don't convict myself because I don't do anything which I consider to be wrong. I mean, that's the thinking of a lot of people. But when you compare that, what did God say? What did God command? I mean, there's a difference there. So feelings do not determine what is right and wrong for us. Doing part of what God wants should be enough to get us to heaven, as some people say. Well, I'll go to church every now and then. That'll be enough to get me to heaven. But if you're living like the rest of the world lives on the rest of the week, I mean, it's not going to get you there. I mean, that's the same idea of imaginations. Oh, I can just do some of what God wants. And some people get the idea, well, I'll just make up. If I do something wrong, I'll just do something nice to make up for it. And they think they can balance it out. They'll do their evil, but they'll also do some good, and somehow, some way, it will balance out. That's an imagination of man. I mean, God tells us to do His commandments. And if we don't do it, we're committing sin. People have this attitude that God will accept anything we offer to Him. I mean, this idea is prevalent in the denominations because they have just basically taken the Bible and cast it aside. We're going to worship God the way we see fit, the way we feel like doing it. And so that's the imaginations of man. And then, of course, anyone who says otherwise is a troublemaker. I mean, I've been called a troublemaker before. Why? Because I said, that's not what the Bible says. You troublemaker. Yeah. I mean, it happens. And we just have to know it's going to happen. Even Proverbs says, when you rebuke a fool, he's going to give you a tongue lashing. He's going to be screaming at you and hollering at you, making you possibly regret having said anything at all. And that's what these people are. All right, another eye to avoid is idolatry. All right. Idolatry has never been acceptable to God in any form or fashion. And those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 is included in that list of sins. And those who practice idolatry will have their part in the lake of fire that we read about in Revelation 21 and verse 8. And 1 Corinthians 10:7, don't practice idolatry. Don't do that. I mean, that's not right. You should not practice idolatry. And 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, even flee idolatry. Get away from it. Well, the problem is with idolatry, most people are ignorant of what it is. There's that other eye, the ignorance we have to avoid. We have the idolatry. And so we have to avoid that and get away from us. Now, none of us bow down before a man-made image of any sort. We don't set up a stone structure or a wooden structure and bow down before it and pray to that idol. We don't do that. But we can still practice idolatry. Well, how do we do that? Well, basically, anything that commands our attention more than God actually becomes an idol. You know, even in Colossians chapter 3, talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. If there's something that somebody else has that you want so badly, you're going to seek it any way you can. I mean, that is idolatry. If sometimes we put our faith in a human being, that is idolatry. And so sometimes it's our own possessions. Sometimes some people, they probably worship themselves. And they think they're so good. And they make themselves an idol. But anything that commands our attention, that it seems to be the most important thing to us. And with a lot of people, the most important thing is, let's see, making money. Oh, that's important. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we understand there's a need to make money. I mean, we need to buy a house. We need to buy a place to live, provide a place to live for our families. I mean, there's some things there, but some people, enough is not enough. Some people need to keep getting bigger and bigger as they have the opportunity, and they will do that. And so it becomes a status symbol for them, and that is more important to them than what God said. See, covetousness bows down to material things. In Colossians 3:5, covetousness is idolatry. So anything can become an idol. And whether it be a particular sport, whether it be a particular style of music, whether it be a person, a sports figure, a media entertainment figure, anything can become an idol if we allow it to. So we spoke about ignorance, iniquity, idleness, imaginations, and idolatry. The letter I basically describe some things that we need to get away from. See, they all have something in common. Not only because they all start with the letter I, but there are two things that have the letter I in the center. And these are all associated with that. Pride and sin. The middle letter of each of those words is I. And every one of these, whether it's ignorance, iniquity, idleness, imaginations, or idolatry, always are the result of pride. And of course, they all result in sin. So we have to be very careful. So we've discussed them and given the remedies. Now the question is, will you turn your life towards God? And that's what we always ask. We always offer the opportunity. If you haven't been living right with God, you can get yourself on the right path. So we're going to invite you to come while together we stand and sing.